Happy Monday, everybody. We hope that you're having a great kickoff to your week. Thanks for checking in with us here at the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Georgiana to talk about her amazing Walt Disney World vacation. But first, let's have a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Hey, this Sunday coming up, you got 6 days until Father's Day. If you're in a pinch and you need the best gift for that Disney dad in your family, pick up a copy of The Wisdom of Walt. It's simple. Drop by Amazon. You can get a soft copy. You can get the hard copy. Even drop by what I would do for Father's Day. You got to do this right away. Is drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Pick up a personally signed copy by author Jeff Barnes. And you're going to have a great keepsake there for the dad in your life. And this book, you know, we think of Walt as Uncle Walt, but he was that father figure who really inspired many of us to live the best life we can. You know, get in touch with our creative side, chase our dreams down. I just picture a copy of this book in your dad's hands. He's sitting on a hammock, maybe under a tree with a glass of lemonade and getting inspired and getting brought back to those days gone by with his good friend, Walt Disney. So check out a copy of The Wisdom of Walt. Pick it up for the dad in your life over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Another great gift for that dad in your life is a premium subscription to touringplans.com. They have the tools to save you time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. And think about it. You just go onto their site, order it, put in your dad's email, you're set. This is great for that person who, this coming Saturday night, you don't have a gift. Do this right now. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. Let that dad in your life know that you're thinking about them, you're keeping them out of lines, and keeping them happy on their next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1183 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Thanks, as always, for checking in, starting the week with us here on the show. It's a Monday, so everybody knows what that means. That means trip reports. That's right. We're hearing from real visitors down to Walt Disney World or to a Disney destination, what worked, what might not have, and what we might change on our next Disney trip. And you know what? It's just fun to hear about our favorite place too. So joining me today, we're heading up to Connecticut up in the Northeast where I need to get my way up there very soon. We have Georgiana. How you doing today? How's your Monday going? Hopefully you're having a good one.
It's great. It's sunny and beautiful here. Hopefully not too hot for you, but it's quite lovely in New England.
Yeah, I got to get up there. It sounds like this is the time of the year, like June. Is that like some of the best weather you have? I've heard the fall is beautiful up there too.
Oh, the fall is gorgeous when the leaves change color, but early summer is perfect before the humidity sets in and the real heat comes. So we're enjoying it right now for sure.
Well, good deal. All right. Well, I appreciate taking some time to go back down, memory lane to speak about your trip that you took down to, you guys stayed at Wilderness Lodge at the Villas, right? When you went down?
We did. It was our second stay. We'd previously stayed there in 2014 in the main hotel, and this time we stayed on rented points in the villas just to have a different experience, the DVC experience, and then also just to get a different perspective on the Disney resort, since it's sort of two resorts in one.
It is. I mean, those resorts that have the DVC accommodations as well as the standard hotel type amenities, they are two different feels. So what kind of made you go down that road? What made you decide to check out a villa and go? Because that's something that a lot of people don't explore. What made you pull that trigger?
I think the biggest reason for our family was just to have more options in the morning. We got a fridge in our room. We had a toaster, the coffee maker, sort of kitchenette set up, which worked well for us. We're not super huge eaters, so we thought we'd go a little bit more economical on this trip, no dining plan, and try that out in terms of like breakfast and snacks and maybe other meals we might bring back to our room. And then also there's a lot of construction going on at the hotel right now, and we just weren't sure whether we necessarily wanted to take the chance and be in the hotel for the construction. So being in the DVC portion, we knew there was no construction there. And actually, from our balcony, we did get to see the construction of the cabins and whatnot. So we sort of saw it, but it didn't really affect us. So, and I know Disney tries to insulate their guests from construction in general, but I think that was another reason why that worked out better for us.
Yeah, they do really a pretty good job of keeping you away from, you know, the noise and stuff like that and, you know, seeing stuff that's unsightly. You know, of course, I mean, they have to be building if they want to keep improving the resorts, but they do a pretty good job of, you know, not disturbing your vacation because nobody cares about, you know, I'm going to see this in 2 years. This is my 1 week I get down at Walt Disney World. I want it to be quiet and tranquil and beautiful, and they do a good job with that. So let me ask, what kind of unit did you guys have? Because there's so many different DVC type units. What did you guys have?
Sure. So for us, we're a family of three, and our daughter's quite young still. So the studio worked out perfectly because my husband and I got the nice large bed to ourselves, and our daughter got to sleep on the sleeper sofa, and it was quite comfortable for her and certainly more than spacious. And the room itself was pretty large. We used the Touring Plans Room Finder feature, and we specifically requested the room, and we were very lucky that that ended up being the room that we had wanted. And it seemed, when I used their website, to be a bit larger than some of the other studios. It was sort of on a corner. So we even got lucky and got an extra window, so we got to see sort of two sides of the resort and Bay Lake from where we were.
That's awesome. That's where a little bit of homework goes a long way on a Disney vacation. That's what these podcasts are about. That's a great tip.
Definitely.
So let me ask you, why Wilderness Lodge? I mean, a lot of folks will go down and have like a, you know, like I'll have an experience at Riverside and, you know, feel like I'm in the deep south. And then I'll decide, oh, let's go over to Coronado and pretend like we're in the American Southwest, or, you know, or head over to French Quarter and, you know, be down in Louisiana. You know, why'd you go back there? What calls you with the Wilderness Lodge?
Sure. We'd originally stayed there in 2014 because of its proximity to Magic Kingdom. And to be honest, we just loved it so much. We wanted to go back there. It has such a small feel, and it feels so detached from the Disney park type feel. During our trip, we were able to stop over and go to the Contemporary and go to the Polynesian and walk around those resorts. And they were great in their own right, and they felt super close to Magic Kingdom as well, but they just didn't have that sort of escape type feeling that my family enjoys after a long day at the parks or an early evening at a resort. So it's just beautiful there. It's on the lake, and we enjoyed it so much the first time we had to get back.
And that's it. You know, you're a lot like me. Like, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. And you're exactly right with Wilderness Lodge in the fact that it was the first deluxe hotel that we stayed at. We used to stay at the Values and maybe a Moderate. And then one time we got a really good deal. You know, they had a discount running, so we went up to a Wilderness Lodge. But the thing is, until you stay there, I don't think you understand that while you're at the resort, it feels very, very remote. Yet if you listen, you can hear the train whistle. In some rooms on the back of the main lodge, you can actually see the monorail going by through the trees. But when you're over there, it feels like you're 100 miles from the Magic Kingdom when, you know, then you can hop a boat and be over to the Magic Kingdom in 5 minutes. It's kind of the best of both worlds. It feels secluded, but it still has proximity to the Magic Kingdom, which I really enjoy about that hotel.
I completely agree.
Awesome. So let's talk about your, family of three, young child. So how do you guys tend to tour the parks? Are you rope droppers or do you take it easy?
We are 100%. We're up 6 a.m. at the park, 3 back from the turnstiles, waiting to get in. My husband commented several mornings, why do we have to get up so early? We're on vacation. What are you doing to me? We got to the park early. We're up there right up front. Right before the park opened, he'd turn around. He'd turn back to me and say, you made a good call. So that's absolutely our style. And once we're at a park, we do as much as we can. We hopped quite a bit on this trip, but we try and do a lot. And then we usually head out of the parks after an early dinner. Our daughter's still young and she goes to bed pretty early and she's so exhausted after being on her feet all day. We were lucky she didn't complain at all this entire trip. I think she was just so happy to be back at Disney. But the long days wore her out, so we got back to our hotel room around 7-ish so she could get to bed. 8 o'clock-ish, and so we could be up the next morning bright and early back to the parks. So that's sort of our touring style.
I don't know if we mentioned this at the top of the show, but you guys were down in February, correct?
That's correct, right before President's Day, and I was so glad that we had scheduled our trip that week before, because we left on Friday, and even starting that Thursday when we had our last full day of parks, it was getting really crowded. But the weekend before and that whole week, I felt like super light crowds. You know, we had to wait for some things, but in general, we got so much done because they just weren't that crowd level 8, 9, 10. They were more like a 5 or even a 3 maybe in the mornings when we would get to the parks early.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, we're all looking for a really good time to visit if we have the schedule where we can get down, say, in a February. And I think a lot of folks, especially for President's Day weekend, like you mentioned, kind of, you know, towards the end of your trip and then Martin Luther King weekend in January, folks from most places in the United States are just sick of winter. You know, they just want to go south. They want to go where it's warm, see something green, see a palm tree. In those, you know, 3 or 4 day weekends are very tempting to get down there, which with a good touring plan, you can still see a lot. But it sounds like you could really feel a noticeable increase in the crowds, because I know it can get nutty on that President's Day weekend. So you did it right. You got down there before everybody got there. And as soon as they started arriving, you were out of there.
Exactly. We got very lucky with her school schedule this year.
That's always a blessing when you get that. So now it's been quite a while. You know, you were there in the, you know, late winter. Now it's summer. What are some of the highlights from your times in the parks, you know, memories that are still sticking with you? Because usually it's not the third ride on Dumbo, but it's something more unexpected or spontaneous. What do you remember from some park time?
Well, actually, our first park we went to was Hollywood Studios on our first day of parks. And our daughter got a spot in the Jedi Training Academy. And I think, obviously, that was a great memory for her because it was something she got to do. But my husband is a real fan of Star Wars. Really big fan. So I think that was something really special for him. And of course, it was sort of the icing on the cake when she got to fight Darth Vader as well. So I think for him and her, that was a really standout memory. And I have to say, for me and my husband, maybe our special memory was we got to drop our daughter off at Lilo's Playhouse of the Polynesian on our last evening. So my husband and I got to go back and do a few things just alone together, the two of us, and see Wishes and the fireworks while we were enjoying dinner and dessert at the Plaza restaurant. And I think that was something really nice just for the two of us. And it was also something special for her because she got to play, I think Chip and Dale showed up, and she had a great time even without us at Disney. So that was a fantastic memory we have, just the two of us.
That's awesome. You know, especially, trust me, if you're a parent, you're like, yes, that sounds like a great night, because those are so few and far between. Now, tell us about the mechanics of that, like scheduling it. And I'm sure that, you know, you went in and checked it out. And, you know, how do you do the drop off or the kids cry? How's that all work for folks that are thinking about doing this, but just don't have any experience with it?
Well, I have to say the best part about it was that it was a flat fee. So you could drop your kid off as soon as they opened, and you could go out, enjoy your evening up until, I think, midnight or whatever time that they close. So your kid could theoretically be there, and you could really, really have a great time. The way it works is you have to call. You cannot schedule it online, at least not when I made the reservation. So I called. There was a special number on the Disney website to schedule it, and they gave me all the information about drop-off time, they open, and pick up, and it's rolling. You don't have to drop off right when they open. You can drop off, I think, really any time during the evening. You just have to make sure you're there when the center closes. And when you get there, your kid can go straight in if they're comfortable enough. I know they do not allow parents in there. I feel like Disney Cruise might be the same way, where the parents can't go into the children's center just for the security for all the children. But my daughter was happy as a clam to see coloring books and play with all the toys that they had. And so we dropped her off, and we signed a few items of paperwork and showed her IDs, coordinated in terms of schedule and what should we get for dinner, which is another great plus to those, is that they do give the kids dinner. So they had a pretty large menu and were also allergy friendly, which was great. And so we were able to pick our daughter's dinner, and she was very happy with that. I think she got her hot dog, so all was well. And like I said, I think Chip and Dale showed up for a while and did a little hula dance with the kids. Since it was at the Polynesian, it was beach themed. She loved that. They did some arts and crafts. She came back with a bag of little prizes, a beach ball and some sunglasses, another cool little project she had worked on. I have nothing but a good experience there, and she had a great time that evening.
Isn't it ironic, though, that your daughter, and my kids be the same way, and I bet you know, our listeners are feeling the same thing, that, you know, you take your kids to a place like Walt Disney World that has all these unique experiences, yet you're saying, you know, she's getting excited about seeing a coloring book and having a hot dog for dinner and things, you know, and doing arts and crafts time.
Exactly.
You know, what's wrong with us? Like, we do all that for our kids, you know, or like the swimming pool at Pop Century. Nothing wrong with it, but you know what? It's a regular old swimming pool. It's just got some theming around it. But, you know, that's what the kids remember. And I think parents need to kind of, if you've never done that with your kids, don't be disappointed. Embrace what the kids like. It is what it is. It's what they enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about some dining. We got to do that here because I'm sure you said you didn't have a dining plan, but you got to have a strategy because obviously you have to eat on a vacation, whether it's counter service, whether it's a sit-down meal here or there, meeting some characters. So how'd it go for you guys?
We had wonderful dining experiences. I'm a Disney planner-aholic. I love planning these things. So I was online looking at all the menus, figuring out our touring plan and what restaurants would be nearby, quick service, and sit down. So tried to work it out that way. We had a lot of quick service in the parks and did Be Our Guest twice. We did Be Our Guest for breakfast one morning before the park opened, and then we had also done a Be Our Guest lunch, sort of to keep the cost down since it's a little less expensive than doing the sit-down dinner, which is a table service type atmosphere. And my family really loves Be Our Guest, so that was a great option. We got really lucky when we went for lunch. It was sort of later in the lunchtime hour, and we got to sit in the West Wing, which is themed after where the Beast sort of doesn't want Belle to go. So it has some really cool theming to that room. And we sat in the ballroom for breakfast the other time, which worked well for us. So we were sort of in and out. We also tried Skipper's Canteen for dinner one evening. And I had selected that because my family is pretty adventurous when it comes to food. So their menu seemed really interesting with falafel. And at the time they had arepas, which my daughter loves. Every time we go to Florida, she has to have arepas because it's sort of the specialty with the Latin American culture down there. And they had curry dishes that were delicious there. And the service itself was pretty amusing because they take their theming from the Jungle Cruise. So that was really enjoyable for us. And as I mentioned, my husband and I got to go to the plaza on our last evening and see the fireworks. And that was really nice and sort of unexpected. We just ended up getting lucky and sitting by the window. And it just happened that it was right before the fireworks. And we actually went, we just walked up and asked if we could get a seat. So we waited maybe only 20 minutes, which was pretty surprising to me because it seemed so popular. And the food was really good, really large portions. The desserts were delicious. We each had our own. We probably should have shared that because it was so much. But we also enjoyed Epcot because they have a lot of different options as well, similar to my mention of Skipper's Canteen. We ate at Katsura Grill, which my daughter loved because they had edamame. And the staff there was so sweet. They gave her a little origami elephant after we ordered. So she loved that. She cherishes that. It's in her room with her Disney press pennies. And the other restaurant we went to there was Tangerine Cafe, which we had been to the last time we were at Disney, and we loved because of the hummus and falafel. My daughter loves falafel, so it worked out well for her. Sort of a healthier option, too. And she still got her hot dog a few nights later. So we really had a good time dining. And one mention that you constantly make about Ample Hills intrigued me, so we made sure we got over there one evening after a date at Epcot, and we got their ice cream flight, which was really good for my family because there were three of us, and it's a flight of six. We each got to pick the two flavors that we wanted, so that was a nice treat after a long, hot day, and we each got something we wanted, but we could also taste the others. So that was a good call, Mike.
Good.
I'm glad you made that recommendation.
I should buy stock in Ample Hills because I believe in the place, you know, especially the ooey gooey butter cake ice cream. Now, did you guys try that when you were one of your flavors? Did you take a chance?
Definitely. It was delicious.
Good, good.
I mean, how can you be taking a chance at ice cream? It's all delicious. But
that's very
that
true.
I think that was one of my daughter's selections, and she really loved it.
Oh, good deal. I like your daughter. Yeah, no, that's awesome. She'd be a good St. Louisan. But you know what? It sounds really, it's very cool because, and I think maybe people in the Northeast tend to be more adventurous in their dining because, again, here in the Midwest, we don't have a lot of, I mean, we have, you know, some ethnic restaurants around St. Louis. I mean, if you go certain places, you can get them. But I think it's just more common to eat more exotic things up in the Northeast, possibly. And I think that's awesome because that opens up everything to your entire family when you're at Walt Disney World, especially a place like World Showcase, where, you know, folks that maybe from Missouri tend to shy away from that stuff. Not that you wouldn't like it if you try it, but I think we're just not exposed to it as much as folks from other places in the world. But it's awesome that you go places and have those, you know, pretty cool cultural experiences along with the food. I think that's great for kids, probably.
Definitely. And you reminded me, we actually did a late breakfast at Tusker House one morning, speaking of a variety of cuisines. And my daughter loved it because she was able to eat roasted carrots, but then she had some traditional breakfast offerings, her biscuits and gravy. So that was a nice treat for us. Plus, the characters were awesome.
Yeah, that's a hidden gem. And plus, if you get past, like, say you're going on a last-minute trip and you're like, oh, I got to get a character meal and, you know, we're going in 30 days. Usually you can score an ADR over at Tusker House, and it's a good meal. It's even better than a good meal. It's a really good character breakfast because people just don't think about it. I always forget about it. You know, it's like, oh, it's way back there in Animal Kingdom. That may change here now that Pandora's open, but, you know, at least that's been the case in the past. We'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, and it was great character interaction. We went around Valentine's Day, so my husband, I missed this. I was up getting some food, and Daisy came over, and she was telling my husband and daughter she's very upset about Donald because my husband asked, did Donald get you something for Valentine's Day? So my husband fashioned a ring out of the paper from the straw, and he gave it to her. And so she sat down, and she was making lovey-dovey faces at him, and he was laughing. My daughter was so excited. Daisy was at our table, and then Donald came storming over and was so upset. So I think that was a real highlight for the two of them. I'm sorry I missed it. So
yeah,
that was a great character interaction.
I hope that was a good plate of food. You know, you got up and you missed the show.
Well, who's to say? I definitely enjoyed our meal there, though. It was delicious.
It is. Now, while I have you here, I got to ask you this because you sound like you really enjoy and get into the planning. And that's part of kind of the mission of our show is to help people plan a better vacation, because as many vacations as you go on to a Disney destination, there's always something you can do that'll make the next trip better or at least different. So it sounds like you really kind of have an idea in your head, and then you spend the time researching and putting in the grunt work to make it happen when you get there. Let me ask you this. First of all, what's your philosophy on seeing the theme parks? Are you a person that has to see, you know, like you got to see all four of the major theme parks first before you start repeating? Or do you have to go to the Magic Kingdom first or end in a certain theme park? Like, what's your strategy as far as touring kind of in general?
So we like to save our longer days for Magic Kingdom, not just for our daughter, because she's still young and the Magic Kingdom just holds so much allure for her. But we like to sort of save that. So on our last trip and this trip, we try to do some of the other parks first, sort of give her the taste. So we met Mickey and Minnie and the characters at Epcot, but then, you know, she met Mickey Town Square. So that was sort of an exciting thing for her. And she got the little taste when we were at Epcot, but she really got Mickey at the Magic Kingdom. So we generally spend a little bit less time at, say, Hollywood Studios in Epcot. I think they're a little older for her, so to speak. They're more for older young adults and adults versus Magic Kingdom. But we try and save that time at Magic Kingdom to get as much done as possible. Whereas at Epcot, we walked around World Showcase once or twice while we visited that park. But it wasn't something where we felt we had to get everything in. We sort of let our daughter take the lead in that and just relax and enjoy ourselves. So we did repeat some parks. We went to Animal Kingdom and Epcot, split those days, and we did that twice in a row. And part of that was based on some planning I did. I was looking to see what parks might be busier. And on those two particular days in a row, Magic Kingdom was going to be slammed. One of the days was Valentine's Day. So it just seemed to work out better that we did those two parks repeated for 2 days in a row. But in a way, it kind of worked out better because we sort of got a full day in both parks, just not sequentially in one day. So we were able to get some highlights done the first day, enjoy ourselves, and then maybe figure out a bit more what we wanted to see the next day. So that worked out well for us. And one item I haven't mentioned yet, we got the express bus transportation upgrade that you can purchase at the hotel concierge or at the kiosks in the park. And that was a fantastic way to help us hop more quickly. And I think maybe that helped us get a little bit more done because my style is really to get as much done as we can because we tend to not stay until the park closes.
Yeah, that does. I mean, it cuts down on your available hours because you're kind of buying into the next day, because if you stay until park closing, you could, you know, in essence, you could throw away the whole next day if your kid's tired. Because, you know, who wants to be there when the kid's cranky and doesn't have enough sleep? Been there many times myself because I like to stay late. You know, I'm a late person. But now the express bus service, with the mechanics of it, just explain that briefly to our audience that might not know. You know, it's a way that you can pay an extra fee. It's not real expensive because time's money on a Disney vacation. I say that a lot. But it gets you to and from, if you're doing some park hopping, very quickly, correct? Especially even with security.
Absolutely. I sort of doubted whether it was going to benefit us that much because I knew the crowds wouldn't be so heavy. But on the other hand, I hadn't been to the park since they'd really implemented the security procedures before you get to the turnstiles and enter the park. So being that I was unfamiliar with that, I thought at the point in time, I think they had just started it not too long before our trip. I read some reviews online. People seemed to say it was worthwhile and it saved them time in terms of security. So I thought, you know, we don't go to Disney that often, so let's see if this makes it worth our while. So we paid the upgrade, and I really think it was a benefit for us because we weren't there for a long vacation. It was really only a few park days, it felt like. So when you go to your first park, you go through the normal security procedures. You might have to go through bag check if you have a bag. You might have to be going through the metal detector afterward if you're selected, and then you still have to wait to go through the turnstile. And once you're in that park, there's an area where you can go to, and there's a cast member who's set up there with a sign, and it says Express Transportation, and you check in with them. They check your Magic Bands, and they verify either that you have already purchased it and it's still valid, or you can purchase it directly from them, is my understanding. And then they walk you behind stage. So you're actually going outside of where guests would normally be allowed to go and into a parking area. And there'll be a bus waiting to take you to whatever park you're going to go to. So they run on a sort of set schedule. So Magic Kingdom will have buses that run, say, every 20 minutes to Hollywood Studios and maybe every 25 minutes to Animal Kingdom and that sort of thing. So once you get on that bus, you're driven directly to the backstage area of the other park, and a cast member will escort you from the bus into the park. But the beauty is you're already in the park. So you don't need to go through bag check and security. You're not walking around to the front of the park and tapping your magic band on the turnstile. You're immediately in the park and off you go.
Yeah, it's really a unique thing, because I know that, you know, when we go down for media events, that's typically how they get the folks that are there for an event, because many times the event will cover activities in different parks. And for example, sometimes they'll let us out, and I think this is where the express bus service works at the studios. You come out backstage kind of right by the Tower of Terror. So you're already deep within the park as soon as you get off the bus. So, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge advantage. You don't have to, I mean, as fun as Main Street USA is and Hollywood Boulevard, you're like well deep within the park initially, so you're just like ready to get going. It's say, you know, it, just forget the bus, like the transit time. It's just that, you know, you don't waste the time getting dropped off at a bus stall, walking up to the parks. And I mean, that's got to be 15 minutes at least every time you do that, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. We did one day where we got to the park a little later, and we had other days where we sort of left the park to go back to our hotel, and we were just so surprised the difference it made between being able to sort of walk straight on the bus and go versus not knowing if that's your bus rolling up, where you're sort of playing roulette. Is it going to be us? Is it going to be us? So it was a really good feature for our vacation and given what we wanted to do and where we wanted to go.
Let me ask you another thing too. You mentioned you were down there on Valentine's Day, which is, I mean, it's an important holiday. We celebrate those we love, but did Disney do anything while you were there for Valentine's Day? I'm wondering about these kind of more minor holidays.
Well, we didn't really do anything special. That was the day we went to Tusker House for brunch. But the photographers had little props. So we took a family picture with a Happy Valentine's Day sign, which was sort of a sweet memory that we have to take away from it. And then I don't know if this is true, but I was told that certain princesses will meet with their male counterparts on Valentine's Day. So I did notice when we were in Epcot that Snow White was meeting with her prince. And I think we also saw Sleeping Beauty meeting with her prince as well on Valentine's Day, because we went to that park for the afternoon. But otherwise, I have to say it was almost like a normal day. I did see a lot of couples, but otherwise it was just sort of a nice extra to be there on that special day.
I've just wondered, you know, because it's one of those things that, you know, it'd be like being there on, I don't know, like a Memorial Day or, you know, something, you know, that there's not really, you know, like on turkey or on Thanksgiving, eat turkey, you know, on Christmas, you do this, or on the 4th of July, you shoot off fireworks, you know, Valentine's Day. I like that, you know, having the kind of the couples together for photo ops and props for your pictures. You know, that's about all you need. You know, I bet you they had lots of red, like, cupcakes and stuff. Disney's the master of the cupcake. I'm sure there was 1 or 10 cupcakes to buy on Valentine's Day.
there were many heart-themed cupcakes for sure.
Nice. All right, well, so as we wrap this up, it sounds like a great time. Well, I'd love to get down there in February, and I love Wilderness Lodge myself, too. And you did it right, because you do all the planning. So for the folks that are listening that are planning that first getaway, or maybe they've planned a couple, but they're still looking for advice, it sounds like you have a great strategy. You have a great plan. Spend a couple minutes talking to our audience about what kind of things that they might miss that they could do better on their next Disney vacation, help them have a better trip.
Well, one thing that we did that in retrospect really was a great thing we did was Memory Maker. We hadn't done it on our last trip. We came away with tons of great pictures. I made a beautiful photo book for my daughter, great memories. But this time I said, maybe we just want to get more pictures, like in front of the Tree of Life or on Main Street USA, and not necessarily have to worry if someone's bumping into someone who's holding our phone to take the picture. So we went ahead and got Memory Maker, and it was a classic investment in our vacation, because we came away with hundreds of pictures still, but some of them are really cool with the added digital features. My daughter has a picture of her in front of Ariel's Grotto with Sebastian in her hand, and we have a really cool picture. It's like animated with Mickey and Minnie coming in and taking pictures of us in front of the Magic Kingdom castle. So just really cool extras and videos from the rides too. My daughter rode a lot of rides she wouldn't normally ride. So we have this funny video of her in Tower of Terror where she just has this look on her face in the videos. So that was a fun extra too, not to mention all the props they had. A lot of the photographers have props now. So we have a family picture inside a frame over at Animal Kingdom. So we held up the frame and our daughter was in the middle. And then we had the Happy Valentine's Day sign and various cool things like that. And just some extra pictures. My husband went to some of the parks by himself. So he actually stopped and got pictures taken of him by himself there. So that's kind of nice to have too, because we weren't there and now we can see what he was doing.
That's true. I never thought about that. I probably wouldn't stop, but yeah, hey, you've paid for it. That's the whole thing is once you get it, here's how I see Memory Maker. Cause people ask a lot, well, should I get it for a long weekend? I could see getting it if I'm going to be there for 10 days, but what if I'm going to be there for 4? What if I'm going to be there for 5? I say, make the decision, stick with it. Once you buy it, don't fret over the cost. But take as many pictures as you can, because when you get home, you never know when that picture is going to be your favorite. And plus, like you said, you got the pluses like the videos, the magic shots. You know, I think it's really, really become a great value over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys had a great trip. You have one on the horizon here. You going back anytime soon?
We are actually taking a Disney cruise in February of next year. So the same sort of time frame as our Disney trip this year will be our very first Disney cruise. And my daughter is so excited to see Mickey on the boat and go visit some islands in Castaway Key. So we're looking forward to that.
Oh, let me just tell you, you are going to be blown away. Disney Cruise Line is so, so amazing. We're getting ready to get on the ship in a month, actually less than a month now. And I've been many, many times, and every time it just gets better and better and better. So you're going to have a great time. But, you know, I appreciate you starting the week with us here. You sound like you really know how to plan a great Disney vacation, really a great trip down there in February. So, again, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate you checking in with us here on a Monday.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to share my trip. I love the trip reports. Every single week. So this was something I wanted to share as well because I love them so much.
We got to talk about that Disney cruise when you get back. So shoot me an email. Let's set something up early because you know how far out we book. So we're practically booked out till then right now. So I want to get those first impressions of being on the boat. Your daughter will love it.
I will be in touch on that, definitely.
All right. Well, don't forget today's show brought to you by our great friends over at touringplans.com and the great book, The Wisdom of Walt. Father's Day is this coming Sunday, folks. You got 6 days. Drop by both of these sponsors. They are Father's Day approved. First of all, your dad needs a good book to read, whether he wants to read it on a Kindle, you know, an ebook on his iPad, if he wants to listen to it. Hey, you're a podcast listener. Maybe your dad is as well. You can get the audiobook. If you really want to go all out, now you got to do this right away, you can go by thewisdomofwalt.com, pick up a personally signed copy, and your dad will have this treasure he can read and then put on the shelf, signed by Dr. Jeff Barnes. And of course, in the book, we all think of Walt Disney as Uncle Walt, but really he's a father figure who left us lots of lessons in Disneyland that we can apply to our own lives to improve our relationships with those around us, our family, our coworkers. But also there's lots of lessons in there about how Walt Disney saw things differently and used creativity to explore new creations and things like that. We can all do that. We got to take those lessons. So check out The Wisdom of Walt. Just go by thewisdomofwalt.com today. Great Father's Day gift. And keep your dad out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on his next vacation. Just drop by touringplans.com, type in his email address, pick him up a premium subscription. This is the ultimate last minute gift. And you know what? Dad doesn't have to know it's last minute. You could just say, hey, I'm thinking about you, Dad. I don't want you waiting in lines. I want you to have a good time. So again, touringplans.com. Do support the show this week as you do some shopping online for Father's Day. Go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon on any online purchases that you make. We get a little kickback from Amazon and it really, really helps support the show. Costs you nothing extra. You can use your Amazon Prime as well. But please do support the show. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon whenever you shop on Amazon. Do give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Unfortunately, it's time to get back to work, but we'll be back again together on Wednesday. And of course, what we do on Wednesday, we answer your listener questions. So for Georgiana, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Let's all get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.